Hello friends, we are on chapter 20, a very important chapter because it deals with restructuring of advances by banks. When we talk about restructuring, this is a special approach by a bank towards borrowers who can be rehabilitated by restructuring. So we need to see what are the different ways of restructuring can happen. We need to understand what are the who is eligible for restructuring. The objective of this chapter would be to understand the different aspects of restructuring of advances by banks. And when we talk about restructuring advances, we have specific guidelines which are divided into four categories. The first guideline is on restructuring advances extended to industrial units. The second one is on restructuring advances extended to industrial units under the corporate debt restructuring mechanism. The third guideline is on restructuring advances extended to small and medium enterprises. And the fourth guideline is on restructuring of all other advances which are not included in the first three category. And now, who is eligible? That needs to be very clear. The eligibility criteria for restructuring of advances. Banks may restructure the accounts classified under standard, substandard and doubtful categories. So these are the three main categories eligible for restructuring. Banks cannot reschedule, restructure, renegotiate borrower accounts with retrospective effect. So it has to be happen prospectively. Normally, restructuring cannot take place unless alteration changes in the original loan agreement are made with the formal consent application of the debtor. So here a formal consent is also essential. And no account will be taken off for restructuring by the banks unless the financial viability is established and there is a reasonable certainty of repayment from the borrower as per the terms of restructuring package. So two important aspects of restructuring is number one, there has to be a financial viability, and number two, there has to be a certainty that the borrower would repay whatever the cushion or the infusion is provided by the banks. Next important eligibility criteria is borrowers indulging in frauds and malfeasance will continue to remain ineligible for restructuring, and BFR cases are not eligible for restructuring without the express approval of BFR. Next, we look at the asset classification norms. Restructuring of advance to take place in certain stages, like before commencement of commercial production or operation, after commencement of commercial production, but before the asset has been classified as substandard, after commencement of commercial production or operation and the asset has been classified as substandard or doubtful. So these types of advances could be eligible for restructuring. Then asset classification has further provisions on this. Norms like the asset accounts classified as standard asset should be immediately reclassified as substandard asset upon restructuring. Next important provision is the non-performing asset upon restructuring would continue to have the same asset classification as prior to the restructuring and slip into further lower asset classification category as per the extended asset classification norms with reference to the pre-restructuring repayment schedule. So this is specifically regarding the non-performing assets upon restructuring. The next important provision is on standard accounts classified as NPA and NPA accounts retained in the same category on restructuring by the bank should be upgraded only when all the outstanding loan facilities in the account perform satisfactorily during the specified period. So the upgradation can happen only after a satisfactory performance. Next, we look at the income recognition norms. When we talk about income recognition norms, the interest income in respect of the restructured accounts classified as standard assets will be recognized on accrual basis, and that in respect of accounts classified as non-performing assets will have to be recognized on cash basis only. So this is very clear about the accrual basis and the cash basis. Next, we look at the provisioning norms. Banks will hold provisions against the restructured advance as per the extant provisioning norms. Restructured accounts classified as standard advance will attract a higher provisioning in the first 2 years from the date of restructuring. Next, restructuring accounts classified as non-performing assets when upgraded to standard category will attract a higher provisioning in the first year from the date of upgradation. So these are specific norms for provisioning. Next important norm is for provisioning for diminution of the fair value of restructured advance. So there are specific provisions relating to this. Reduction in the rate of interest or rescheduling of a repayment of principal amount as part of the restructuring result in the diminution in the fair value. Bank should measure such diminution in fair value and make provision by debit to profit and loss, and such provision should be held in addition to the provision as per the existing provisioning norms. Next important provision over here is bank should correctly capture the diminution in the fair value of the restructured accounts, and there should not be any effort on the part of the banks to artificially reduce the net present value of cash flows by resorting to any sort of financial engineering. Next important aspect relating to provision for diminution in the fair value of the restructured asset is in case of working capital facilities. The diminution in the fair value of cash credit overdraft component may be computed by reckoning the higher of the outstanding amount or the limit sanctioned as per the principal amount and taking the tenor of the advance as 1 year. In the event any security is taken in lieu of the diminution in the fair value of the advance, it should be valued at rupees 1 till maturity of the security. This will ensure that the effect of charging of the economic sacrifice to the profit and loss account is not negated. Next important aspect of provision for diminution in the fair value of restructured advance is the diminution in the fair value may be recomputed on each balance sheet till satisfactory completion of all repayment, and consequently bank may provide the shortfall in provision or reverse the amount of excess provision held in the distinct account. If due to lack of expertise or approved infrastructure, banks find it difficult to ensure the computation of diminution in fair value as an alternate, banks will have to take the option of notionally computing the amount of diminution in the fair value and providing thereof at 5% of the total exposure in respect of all restructured accounts wherein the total dues to the banks are less than rupees 1 crore. So this is specifically relating to this particular criteria only. Next, we look at the total provisioning requirements. The total provisioning required against an account, normal provision plus provisions in lieu of diminution in the fair value, are capped at 100% of the outstanding debt. This cap is maximum of 200% of the outstanding debt. Next, we look at the risk weights. When we talk about risk weights, restructuring a housing loan should be risk weighted with an additional risk weight of 25 percentage point. With a view to reflecting a higher element of inherent risk, which may be latent to the entity's obligations, I mean subject to restructuring or rescheduling either by banks on their own, the unrated standard performing claims on corporate should be assigned a higher risk weight of 125% until a satisfactory performance under the revised payment schedule has been established for 1 year from the date when the first payment of the interest principal falls due and the revised schedule. So this risk weights have to be specifically applied to this particular categories. Next, we look at the prudential norms for conversion of principal into debt or equity. First comes the asset classification norms. A part of outstanding principal amount can be converted into debt or equity instruments as part of restructuring. Next important, the debt equity instrument so created will be classified in the same asset classification category in which the reconstruction or restructured advance has been classified. So there is a provision of conversion of the outstanding principal amount into debt or equity. However, the debt equity instrument so created will be classified in the same asset class. Next, we look at the income recognition norms, especially with the standard accounts and with the non-performing accounts. When we talk about standard accounts, in case of a restructured accounts classified as standard, the income generated by these instruments can be recognized on the accrual basis. In case of restructured accounts classified as non-performing assets, the income generated by the instruments may be recognized only on cash basis. So we have seen this before also. Anything relating to standard accounts can be recognized on accrual, whereas anything related to any income related with non-performing assets can be recognized on cash basis only. And now let's look at the special regulatory treatment for asset classification. When we talk about special regulatory treatment for asset classification in modification to the provisions it will be regard to the borrowers engaged in important business activities. So these special regulatory measures are for those borrowers who are engaged in important business activities, and these are subject to compliance of certain conditions. Elements of special regulatory framework are: number one, incentive for quick implementation of regulatory package. Number two, retention of the asset classification of the restructured account in the pre-structured asset classification category. And there are some more consumer and personal advances. These are special credit treatment of asset classification available for this particular categories, like consumer and personal advances, advances classified as capital market exposure, and advances classified as commercial real estate exposure. So these are the specific categories for asset classification which are having the special regulatory treatment. Next, we look at the incentives for quick implementation of the restructuring packages. What are the incentives that can be provided? As an incentive for quick implementation, if it is approved package is implemented by the bank as per the time schedule that is prescribed, the asset classification status may be restored to the position which existed when the reference was made to the CDR cell. So this is the first big incentive in respect of the cases covered under the CDR mechanism, or when the restructuring application was received by the bank in non-CDR cases. Next important incentive, like when we can talk about, is within 120 days from the date of approval under the CDR mechanism and within 120 days from the date of receipt of application by the bank in cases other than those restructured under the CDR mechanism. So when we talk about incentive as an incentive for quick implementation of the package, if the approved package is implemented by the bank, as for the timelines that we see over here in number 1 and number 2, the asset classification status may be restored to the position which existed when the reference was made to the CDR cell in respect of cases considered CDR mechanism, or when the restructuring application was received by the bank in the non-CDR cases. And when we talk about the time schedule is within 120 days from the date of approval, that is under the CDR mechanism, and within 120 days from the date of receipt of application by the bank in cases other than those restructured under the CDR mechanism. When we talk about asset classification benefits, an existing standard asset will not be downgraded to the substandard category upon restructuring. Next important benefit is, during the specified period, the asset classification of the substandard or doubtful account will not deteriorate upon restructuring if satisfactory performance is demonstrated during the specified period. Benefits will be available subject to compliance of certain conditions, and these conditions are: the dues of the banks are fully secured, the condition being fully secured but tangible security will not be applicable when MSME borrowers where the outstanding is up to rupees 25 lakhs, for infrastructure projects provided the cash flow generated from projects are adequate for repayment of the advance, the financing bank have in place an appropriate mechanism to escrow the cash flows and also have a clear legal first claim on these cash flows. Next important point areas for regarding the benefit is, the unit becomes viable in 8 years if it is engaged in infrastructure activities, and in 5 years in case of other units. So this aspect also needs to be linked when we talk about benefits available subject to this particular conditions. The dues of the banks are fully secured, and the unit becomes viable in 8 years if it is engaged in infrastructure activities, and in 5 years in case of other units. Benefits will be available subject to some other conditions also, in addition to what we have seen in the previous slide. The third condition is, the repayment period of the restructured advance, including the moratorium, does not exceed 15 years, and in case of infrastructure advance, and 10 years in case of any other advance. So this repayment period of restructured advance, including moratorium, should not exceed 15 years in case of infrastructure advance and 10 years in case of other advances. And the promoter's sacrifice and additional funds brought by them should be minimum 20% of the bank's sacrifice or 2% of the restructured debt, whichever is higher. Next important condition over here is, promoter's contribution need not necessarily be brought in cash and can be brought in the form of derating of equity or conversion of unsecured loan bought by the promoter into equity and interest-free loans. And the final condition over here is, the restructuring under consideration is not a repeated restructuring. So friends, that's all the major provisions what we are talking about restructuring. Now let us look at some miscellaneous provisions also relating with restructuring. The bank should decide on the issue regarding convertibility, that is into equity option, as a part of restructuring exercise, keeping in view the statutory requirements which we have seen in our previous restriction columns. and under Section 19 of the Banking Regulation Act in case of banks, and under relevant SEBI regulations. Next important miscellaneous provision is about conversion of debt into preference shares should be done only as a last resort, and such conversion of debt into equity preference should in any case be restricted to a cap, that is say 10% of the restructured debt. Conversion of debt into equity should be done only in case of listed companies. There are some more miscellaneous provisions over here, that is acquisition of equity shares, convertible bonds, convertible debentures in companies by way of conversion of debt. What if interest can be done without seeking prior approval from RBI? So no RBI prior approval is required in this case. However, this will be subject to reporting of such holdings to RBI, Department of Banking Supervision, DBS, every month, along with the regular DBS return on the asset quality. So reporting is a must for to RBI. Next important provision is on promoter's personal guarantee. As stipulating, personal guarantee will ensure promoter's skin in the game. He will be kept involved in this process or commitments to the restructuring packages. Promoter's personal guarantee should be obtained in all cases of restructuring, and corporate guarantee cannot be accepted as a substitute for personal guarantee. So the promoter has to remain involved into this restructuring package. However, corporate guarantee can be accepted in those cases where the promoter of a company are not individuals but other corporate bodies, or where the individual promoters cannot be clearly identified. Thank you.